multiple severe thunderstorm warnings make for a messy end to the weekend. Good evening and thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Julian Grace. Well, reports include nickel to half dollar size hail and a tornado warning this afternoon. These are all reasons why we issued a weather alert day. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione has been tracking these storms all afternoon. And Anthony, flood advisories are still in place in some areas right now.
Yeah, Julian, thankfully we are making progress. But you see here as we look at dual Doppler 5000 right now, where you see that green polygon showing up right there, that's where we do have a flood advisory in place. We certainly have seen many areas out there this afternoon that have had that drenching rainfall. The roads definitely could be seeing some of that water. If you encounter that, of course, we always say turn around, don't drown. It may sound cliche, but it rings true in these situations, so just don't put yourself in danger. Otherwise, though, that is it. We have the flood advisory to talk about. No severe thunderstorm warnings. Our severe potential here this evening has ended, which is good. We sweep here on dual Doppler 5000. There is where the rainfall is. Rocky Mount toward Roanoke Rapids down I-95. Still tracking some light showers at this point. No thunderstorm showing up on the map. We head here back toward the Triangle. Sanford to the north of you. Pittsboro, Siler City. This is actually a little bit of a heavier cell continuing to push to the north and east, so that may still have some fairly soaking rainfall here, let's say headed toward Apex and Fuquay Varina. But for the most part, everything is looking better here into this evening. Multiple storm reports from today, too. That is a look here at the thunderstorm wind damage reports. Every single one of those icons, especially around the Goldsboro area, we saw numerous trees down here across the roads. Definitely an active afternoon, Julian, but thankfully we're making progress, getting quieter. And I do have a much quieter, cooler, but quieter forecast this week. I'll talk about that here in a few minutes.
Oh, we're all ears for that one.
It'll be good.
All right, we'll see you, Anthony. Let's talk about power outages. We've been tracking power outages through the Duke Energy outage map. Look at this. Nash County is reporting the most outages right now, with roughly 3,000 customers impacted. Wake County is reporting about 870 customers without power. And Franklin County is showing 720 customers in the dark right now. Let's go to a new image tonight from Wilson County from a WRAL viewer. William Bagley sent us this picture of a woodshed blown across the street on Wheat Swamp Road. That's in Lucama. In Durham, a WRAL viewer sent us this picture of flooding near her apartment because of the storms today. Can you believe that when you see that? After getting these images, we sent WRAL's Brett Neese to the area on Drew Street. He joins us live there now. And Brett, you talked with the woman who sent us that picture.
Yeah, Julian, she lives just down the street here, and you can see all the water is gone now. It's left behind plenty of debris on the other side of the roadway there. Here's one of the storm drains, though, that you can continue to hear the water flowing through that drain. That's how much water was dumped on this area earlier. And you can see some of the standing water still here at this park that it remains because of just how much water they saw. It all came from the creek, though, back there. That resident sent us that picture. She says that if that creek floods every single time, they have heavy rainfall. I want to show you that picture again. This is from Sierra Hurdle, who lives nearby. She says she wishes the city would do something about the drainage system in this area so that this does not continue to happen.
There's never any help for us. Like, we have to suffer through this, and it comes up on our doorsteps, and we have to vacuum it out. A friend of mine, he even went to unstop the creek just so the water wouldn't continue to come in our house.
So this is video of that creek that Hurdle was talking about. You can see plenty of trash built up there and the water level still extremely high. She, along with other residents, want the city to do something to step in to drain and to clear that creek as well so that they do not have to continue to live like this, Julian.
It's amazing how that water just pops up so fast and then just like that, it's gone. Brett Neese reporting live in Durham tonight. Thank you. The storms brought trees down and floodwaters up in areas of Johnston County. Wilson Mills Fire Department and police officers had to close a section of Main Street between Clayton and Selma due to the rising water. That water kept rising even after the rain let up. Luckily, there's no serious damage to report. We want to show you this video out of Sanford where a tree fell on a home there. This is in Bright's Mobile Home Park. The breaking news tracker was on the scene shortly after 8 a.m. as crews responded. Neighbors tell WRAL they were concerned for the couple who lives inside.
I was worried for my neighbors. I thought that's a good chance that somebody's seriously hurt inside that building. So I was, the whole neighborhood was relieved as we got word around that they had heard from her in the back of the house. She was okay, but he was trapped up front.
All right, we have an update for you on this. Officials say that man was trapped for a short time until crews were able to lift the tree enough to get him out. He was taken to the hospital. We are still waiting to learn the extent of his injuries. Once we find out more, we will let you know. For the latest updates on weather in your area, download the WRAL weather app. You can check the radar anywhere you are and get alerts on dangerous conditions in your area. I'm telling you, it is a lifesaver. It's free to download right now on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Let's go to some more breaking news. Police and other emergency responders are on the scene of a deadly crash in Raleigh right now. This happened on Lake Woodard Drive at Corporation Parkway. Police confirm one person died in the crash. We have a news crew on the way, and we're working to gather more information. Breaking news in Harney County. Deputies are currently conducting a death investigation near Spring Lake. This is happening at a home on Swain Road. There was a large law enforcement presence in the neighborhood earlier today. The sheriff's office also had his mobile command post vehicle at the scene. We're working to confirm more details about what happened there. An update about a crash on the Durham Freeway we first reported as breaking news this morning. We're talking about this crash right here. We've learned a woman died in the crash. It happened near Ellis Road after 3 a.m. this morning. Investigators say the car ran off the road to the right, striking a ditch and overturning. Police say 43-year-old Robin Williams, who was not wearing a seatbelt, died at the scene. Investigators in Chatham County arrested and charged a man for shooting at a car and injuring a 17-year-old. 21-year-old Brian Blackwell is charged with assault with a deadly weapon and a series of drug charges, including possession of drugs near a school. Investigators arrested him Friday at Seaford High School, where he was trying to pick up a student. The shooting happened April 26, just before noon. You may recall Sky 5 flew over the scene on Moore Mountain Road and Hamlet's Chapel Road. We're told Blackwell got out of his car, then shot at another car, hitting the 17-year-old. The teen was treated for non-life-threatening injuries and released from the hospital. Blackwell is set to appear in court on May 15th. A man is dead after a shooting at a home in Clinton. The WRAL breaking news tracker was on the scene near Sampson Street. Clinton police tell us they responded to the shooting around midnight. They found 30-year-old James Gamio and 27-year-old Sergio Gamio, both with gunshot wounds. Officers say James died at the scene. Sergio was taken to the hospital for treatment. Investigators believe the two got into some type of argument with a third person who shot them. We do not have details about a suspect at this time. We have learned a juvenile is in custody after a shooting at a home in Zebulon. Police were at the home on Cattail Pond Drive around 8 o'clock last night. You may recall we told you about this one. They now tell us an 18-year-old was taken to the hospital with life-threatening injuries. It's unclear what led up to the shooting. A small but significant update about the shooting deaths of a Fayetteville police officer and his wife. The State Bureau of Investigation says even though they can't release information about the case, they can confirm there is no threat to the public stemming from the incident. Officer Domingo Rodriguez and his wife, Yensa Torres, were found dead inside their home on Vandenberg Drive on Friday. Rodriguez had been on the force since June of 2021. He served in the military prior to that. A neighbor says Rodriguez shared with him he had PTSD from his military experience. We will continue to follow up with that investigation. So many questions still out there about that one. Well, still to come at 6, the storms didn't stop folks from going to the Dogwood Festival. Coming up, we talk to festival goers about their decision to come out despite the raining weather. And how about this? New technology is leading to a rise in smart cities. Next, WRAL's Laura Levine explains what that means and the North Carolina town recognized for that achievement. Ah, look at that sky there. Things are starting to clear up in spite of the big clouds right there. We'll have more on that in just a little bit with Anthony. All right, welcome back. The rainy weather is good news for firefighters battling the Great Lakes Fire in eastern North Carolina. Today, U.S. Forest Service announced that the fire in the Croatan National Forest is now 45% contained. Because of this update, the Forest Service is cutting back on the number of crews out there again tomorrow. So far, the fire has scorched 32,400 acres. Officials say the fire is suspected to be caused by a person and is still under investigation. Well, new technology is giving rise to so-called smart cities across the country. Mooresville is getting national recognition for a plan that uses sensors, broadband, and solar panels to improve the quality of life. As WRAL's Laura Levine reports, the town is now on track to launch a new app this week.
On a rainy day like this, Cedar Fork District Park in Mooresville gets a lot of saturation.
So we have moisture sensors in the ground. You can see over here the pole. That pole is a moisture sensor with a solar panel. It's collecting the data and sending to our central platform.
The chief technology officer with Veridex tells me there's a flood sensor near Crabtree Creek in the park. This helps alert staff and neighbors of real-time conditions with just one click. It's one example of how Smart City Solutions is changing the way people work, play, and live here.
The city determined that they could save about 1 ton of carbon emissions every year just by implementing this, because it saves so many trips for so many different people.
And a lot of this is also made possible by SAM IT Solutions.
This is a public-facing app, so citizens can see in live that these fields on the Cedar Fork District Park are currently closed, so they know that they can save a trip. In addition, there's a feature where they can click notify me.
During the pandemic, Councilmember Steve Rowell tells me Mooresville launched a smart city committee to bring innovative ideas to help growth, development, traffic patterns, and even public safety.
You can get real-time visibility of your traffic counts so that when you're planning development and things like that. So these are all things that we're working on, and we've seen such immediate benefit.
The data collected from sensors, video cameras, parking meters, license readers, and smartphones is changing the game for the fast-growing area.
It's really all about finding areas in your town where you can leverage this data to help enhance the quality of your services for your residents. And so that's one thing that we've been able to show that you can do.
Now looking ahead to the future, the town wants to focus on how to tackle crime using tech and encouraging other cities in North Carolina to think smart.
So we've gone from basically nowhere to now a national leader. And I think it's exciting because we can grow smart city innovation across the state.
Laura Levine, WREL News in Mooresville.
Oh, how cool is that? The new app Mooresville Central is tentatively set to launch Friday. The town is also encouraging public engagement to discover what other types of apps they can add to their list. I'm sure the ideas are coming in right now. Despite the storms, Fayetteville's Dogwood Festival is continuing in the downtown area. In just under an hour and a half, the ultimate Michael Jackson experience will begin. We asked one attendee if the weather had her worried.
When I saw it was raining, because I was trying to be out here early, because I didn't know if it was going to be busy, but when I saw that rain, I was like, yeah, it's not going to happen. But after the rain chilled out and I saw that the sun was coming, I was like, this is my perfect time to go ahead and go out before it starts raining again. So it wasn't going to stop me from coming. I was still going to come.
I heard that. Have just a little bit of faith. The Midway will be open until 8:30, as well as the Kids Zone. This year's festival featured a climbing wall, a car show, and a street fair. Let's get back to that rain. Anthony, I look behind me, and it's almost like the rain never existed. What's going on right now?
I like it. Yes, it's a lot quieter here. We still have a few light showers, but as they were mentioning, we're looking good here for the Dogwood Festival, June, as we head toward Fayetteville. Look at that radar. It's a whole lot different here than a couple of hours ago. We had multiple severe thunderstorm warnings. We did have one tornado warning, and so it sure certainly was a pretty busy afternoon. You can rest easy tonight, though, but I do want to kind of show you here where we're still holding on to a few of these showers still behind this system. They're pushing down to the south and east as kind of a low pressure system starts to roll out of here. And then a place like, let's say, Anjure, Fuquay, Varina, down toward Benson and Dunn may see this shower continuing to skirt into your area. It's pushing through Sanford right now. No lightning with that one. No severe storms expected through the rest of the evening. Just maybe a few passing showers. We did have multiple flood advisories as well. We still have one to talk about. I'll show you that here in just a second. Rocky Mount, Roanoke Rapids, down toward Greenville, North Carolina, I-95, still tracking some light showers at this point. There is the flood advisory that goes until 7 o'clock this evening. That really is the only watch, warning, concern area that we have here this evening. Certainly, though, we have seen lots of rainfall across our area. So if you get the ponding on the roads, just be sure to take it nice and slow out there this evening. Shouldn't be a widespread issue, because you see we haven't necessarily seen a ton of rainfall here for everyone. But you notice where we do have that flood advisory in place. we had radar estimates here of about 2 to 3 inches right along that band that you see setting up there. That's over the past 6 hours or so. And so it just doesn't take much. If it comes down heavy enough, certainly we can run into some of those issues. I think a lot of it, though, thankfully has started to recede, as we were talking about in our earlier story with some of that flooding. Look at, though, the storm reports that we saw, a large cluster around Goldsboro, Rocky Mount. These are thunderstorm wind damage reports. A lot of these here from the National Weather Service were trees that fell over. I saw a report of actually a transformer fire with the tree falling on the power lines. Looking like things are getting better here, but still the power outages could be an issue, especially in eastern North Carolina as well. Overall, though, here, look where we're headed. We're going to see this storm system start to push out. There is 9 o'clock this evening. Looking good for the Dogwood Festival here into tonight. We head to midnight and we're going to wake up tomorrow morning probably with tons of sunshine. It will be on the cool side, though. That's going to be the theme for us the next couple of days. Cooler and definitely breezy, both for our Monday and Tuesday. So that's kind of the only inconvenience, if you will, as far as the weather is concerned. We're at 67 in Raleigh, 71 there in Fayetteville, 62 in Rocky Mount, 64 in Goldsboro. Temperatures tonight, we are going to nice and dry out. Upper 40s, low 50s, maybe a few lingering light showers here early on. After probably 9 to 10 o'clock, though, we should be nice and dry. Breezy and cooler for us tomorrow. High temperatures near 70 for most of us, but you notice those wind speeds. These are the gusts potentially up to about 25 to 30 into the afternoon. It's the cold front that came through today. It's pulling all this cooler air down into our area here from the north and west. And so that's going to be with us here Monday and Tuesday. Could be a little bit breezy as well. Look at that, though. I love this. We have a nice dry stretch there, Julie. No rain chances on the way. It will be a little bit cooler, though, for this time of year, 64 on Wednesday. Maybe a slim chance of a shower there Friday, but we may also have a nice dry weekend next weekend, which is great news.
That's unheard of, right?
It's been a while. It's been, you know, 7-8 weekends, I think, at this point.
It has. Thanks, Anthony. Casey, the Hurricanes, they are taking a well-needed break right now.
Yeah, you know, it's the playoffs. It's a grind. You know, maybe this is just what the guys needed. They are still waiting for their opponent, but do the guys have any preference? I'll have that next. Plus, Duke baseball surges to the top of the ACC. Duke was picked to finish 6th in the Coastal, 12th overall in the ACC, but this Devils team has slowly and quietly found their way to the top, and that continued this weekend at number 13, Virginia, picking up a 7th-ranked win on Friday. So who stood out to me on this stretch? Well, at the plate, Alex Stone, 17 straight games with a hit, already 2 home runs on the weekend. This guy, Alex Mooney, he leads the team in runs because once he's on base, boy, he can make the moves. Then this guy, James Talon, he's exactly the guy you want closing out your games. He's 6th in the nation in staves. To the Commonwealth we go. It was a rubber match between the Hoos and the Devils. Duke already up 3-0, and oh, look who it is. Alex Stone. Make that 18 straight games with a hit. The solo shot, his team leading 78th. It's team leading 12th. It's the 78th as the team. Tying the most under head coach Chris Pollard. It was 4-0 Devils. Next inning, Stone back at the plate. He puts this one in play, the RBI single. He finished 2 for 3, 2 RBIs. Alex Mooney, he's your clubhouse leader in hits. He collected his 15th multi-hit game of the season, but also his 15th stolen bag of the year. That's pretty impressive stuff. Duke with a 7-3 lead in the bottom of the 9th. So here comes freshman James Talon, and he's going to slam the door. Fans 3 over the final 2 innings, 3 straight ranked ACC series wins. Blue Devils, they go 15-3 in the month of April. Talk about surging at the right time. This group strongly in the top 8 seed mix as we head into May. Last night, the New York Rangers avoided elimination, beating the New Jersey Devils 5-2, forcing a Game 7 tomorrow night. That means Carolina Hurricanes will have to wait another day before finding out who their second-round opponent will be. The guys not skating for a second straight day, getting some rest. If anything, a good mental rest. The guys not concerned, though, with which team they'll play. Both present separate challenges.
They're both great teams, and they were all year. It's not like this is just new. And they both have, they both present, I say, same and different challenges, you know. So we know whoever we get, we're going to be in tough. And, you know, the only thing we know is we're starting at home. That's about it.
I think with both the other two teams that we could play, a little more free-flowing. And so, it'll definitely be a shift. But hopefully, mentally for us, it can't change the way that we do what we do.
In a rematch of the 2022 NCAA title game, Boston College and North Carolina squaring off in the women's lacrosse ACC title game. Tar Heels jumped in front early with 11 seconds left in the opening frame. Melissa Scannone one-times it for a 5-2 lead in the second half. Eagles back within one, but what a response from Kaylee Harden making the falling shot. But BC didn't go away, snapping Carolina's streak of ACC titles to clinch their first ever in program history. The Heels await their fate in the NCAA tournament in next week's Selection Sunday. NBA Eastern Conference semis, and Aaron Rodgers making his way around town at the Rangers game last night, sitting courtside today for Knicks and Heat game one. RJ Barrett leads the Knicks offense early. Barrett knocks down the mid-range step back Jay for the lead. Then late in the first quarter, Jalen Brunson swings it to Barrett for a triple. Game high 26 points for the former Blue Devil. But Julian, Miami would start to heat up, if you will, after trailing at half. They'd come back and win this one 108-101 to take game one.
That Jimmy Butler is a bad
man. He was. I saw him go down and everyone's holding their breath, but comes back and helps lead Miami to the win. So.
Yeah, he's the real deal, Holyfield. He's that good. Yeah. All right, Casey, thank you. And thanks for joining us tonight. We'll have more news and weather coming up tonight at 10 on Fox 50, then back here for WRL News at 11. We'll see you a little bit later. Peace out.